Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
This week on the podcast, we talk about knowing God, how, as disciples, we can come to know and be known by Him. We respond to Psalm 139, and I share a new song I wrote that's connected to that psalm. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 4. Well, hello, Ted. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here. Yeah, it's great to be here, Pastor Christian.
We are just coming off of the Easter holiday.
A big one for believers and for the church.
Mm-hmm. Was Easter like a big deal in your family? How did you guys celebrate it?
My brother was the one that got me going to church. There was 11 years difference between my brother and I, and my brother could drive on a motor scooter. It was back in the day when you didn't have to wear helmets or whatever, and he would throw me, a five-year-old, on the back of this motor scooter, and we would drive to the Alliance Church, and I survived those days. Easter was always a wonderful time of celebration, just the hope that Jesus gives us. We would celebrate as a family going to church, but then there was also the candy and the basket and eggs, and we would decorate eggs. Remember decorating the eggs, and you have to put it in this dye. I think I had more dye on my hands than on the eggs.
Do you remember like what kind of candy was your favorite?
I liked Three Musketeers bars. Ooh. Or Milky Way.
Okay.
Those are the candy bars that I gravitated to. Mm. Yeah.
Are those still your favorite today?
They're still up there, yeah. I wasn't big on the nuts.
Okay.
And, you know, anything with nuts. But later on, you know, we've now developed a love for, there's a dark chocolate M&M peanuts. Mm. Oh, that's just awesome.
Dark chocolate peanut M&Ms?
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's okay. The one. Those are good.
Easter candy is special because there's certain candies that only come out for Easter. Peeps, yeah. Which are the marshmallow.
The marshmallow thing, yeah.
Bunnies and what are they, like birds? Are they ducks?
I don't know. Are they little chicks?
Chicks. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not ducks. Easter ducks. Is it Easter chick?
Yeah.
The Cadbury eggs.
Cadbury eggs. That's yeah, right. Those were big. Yeah. One year I got a big, gigantic chocolate bunny.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was all chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Reese's peanut butter cups, but around Easter they have Reese's peanut butter eggs. And the eggs are better than the
eggs
cups.
The eggs are the cups?
Yes, there's something different about them. They're a little bigger. Uh-huh. Anyway, we started talking about candy, but I guess that's what Easter was to me as a kid. It was a lot of candy. I got Easter baskets for sure. And I always had to dress up for church.
Dress up for church. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was big. Even as a little kid, do I have to wear a tie?
Yeah, same. Now, my mom picked out my clothes for me for a long time, certainly for church. She was dressing me up a lot. But this was before social media and Instagram. So I wasn't like all over Instagram with these outfits. Like my nephews now, they were in like lavender and green, you know, coordinated. They look like some little Easter eggs in my sister's church photo, you know.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Because now we're in the social media age, but my mom would have been all over that.
Usually after the Easter service, Resurrection Sunday, we always get pictures. We didn't get any pictures this Sunday.
No pictures.
No pictures. Yeah. Mm.
We did dress up though.
You did dress up. Yeah.
Everybody compliments our dress on Easter.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
See if they got used to it. If we wore suits all the time, it wouldn't be special. No. And so we got to keep it special, I think.
Yeah, I think special is good.
Suits for holidays.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So today on the podcast, we want to talk about knowing God. Mm. It's a big subject, even though it's just two words, knowing God. As disciples, we want to have a relationship with God. But how do you have a relationship with an invisible entity that is so far beyond our comprehension? Mm. We want to know God, but how do you know someone that some people say, you know, is unknowable because he's so huge and so far beyond our comprehension? It's a big idea to talk about, knowing God. How, as disciples, do we know God?
Yeah.
How do we get to know Him?
There's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. Mm. And I remember reading that as a freshman in college, and it was, as I call some theological books, thick and rich and chocolatey. It was...
it's like the bunny.
It was like the bunny. It was so good, but I had to read it over and over again just to grasp that God pursues us. He reveals himself to us. And so how do we know God? Well, we know God that there is a creator because of creation.
Yeah.
There's a solar eclipse coming up, I think. And I mean, if you want to know God, who made all this? God did. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there's that general revelation. But then there's that specific revelation. We know God because of his revealed word, the scriptures. But we also know God because of who Jesus Christ is.
God reveals himself to us.
Yeah.
And I think that's key. We can't just go out and know him without him revealing himself.
Yes.
Because he's the one who's in control and in power. But praise God, because he does reveal himself.
Praise God, he does.
So that when we seek him, we will find him.
Yeah, like Moses in the burning bush, God revealed himself to Moses. And even in New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
So God pursues us.
Yeah.
And then we receive, believe.
When we're talking about revelation, God revealing himself to us so that we can know him, the main thing that we point to is the person of Jesus, right?
Yes.
Because we believe that Jesus is God made flesh, that he's the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he became something that we could understand.
Yes.
Because we're people, we're humans, we're flesh and blood.
Yes.
And so God became flesh and blood, not necessarily so that he could know us, because I think he already knew us, but so that we could know him. So
absolutely.
How do you know God? Well, you look at the person of Jesus, right? As a Christian, as a disciple, we know God by knowing Jesus.
And the beautiful thing about Easter is we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that gives us an ability to be strong in the Lord and to reveal his love and his light in our community. Jesus has made himself known to me, and as much as I know him, I can rest in his power and his strength in me, and I can reveal his love and his light to those around me and have no fear.
I think that's really good. It's because he dwells within us, we are revealing God to those around us because he's inside of us.
Yes.
So it's not only that I get this personal revelation of who Jesus is, but because he takes up residence inside of us, we can see God in each other. You know, we can reveal God to one another within the church and to those outside of the church if we're full of the Holy Spirit and if we're being intentional and pressing into that, allowing him to shine through us. It's hard to understand some invisible entity, but I can understand the love and care from my fellow human beings, you know?
Yes. When we are developing that relationship with God by faith in Christ, and we're looking at Jesus and diving into that relationship, God, by his grace, allows the characteristics and qualities of Christ to rub off on us. It gives us hope, it gives us joy, and and we see the supernatural power at work. Yeah.
And when we think about having a relationship with someone, that's different than knowing about them, you know?
Oh, it is.
You think about a person, I know something about a celebrity or a politician. I know things about them because it's reported, but I've never met them.
Right.
I don't know them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know their character. I don't know who they are. And for a lot of us, Jesus can be like that because we've read about Jesus, so we might know some things about him. But that's different than knowing him.
Mm.
How do you go from being someone who knows about God to being someone who knows God?
The salvation that God offers by faith in Christ is more than just being saved from eternal damnation. It's becoming adopted as a son or daughter of God Almighty. And I love what John wrote in John 1. He says, as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. And that is what we are.
I imagine the disciples, the 12, they were walking with Jesus. All through the Gospels, you see them misunderstanding. So they don't have it mentally. They don't understand. Their behavior also isn't right. They make mistakes throughout and misunderstand. But they're walking with Jesus.
They're walking with
They're literally walking with him like a student follows a teacher. You can think about like one of your teachers growing up or even a teacher you've had as an adult, a mentor, and how you enter relationship with that teacher. And that's what, you're not just learning facts, you're learning through relationship, you're learning from a person. And we've talked about before how a disciple begins to reflect the behavior or expertise of their master or their teacher. That happens relationally. That happens over time as you walk with that teacher. Although we are not physically walking with Jesus in the flesh now, that's what a disciple does, is we follow Jesus, we walk with him through our days. And over time, then, we are made more like him.
We are. I love the example of the disciples. And sometimes we beat up on them a lot because, you know, they miss it and so forth. But, you know, if I lived during that time, I probably would have missed it too.
Makes me feel better about being wrong and making mistakes.
I appreciate Peter and his boldness. I appreciate Thomas and his honesty and doubting. I appreciate all that because I can relate to that. But I also love the way Jesus always interacts with all those in Scripture. Even those he's kind of rebuking and upset with, he's doing it out of a compassionate pursuit that he wants them to know him.
Yeah.
To know him. Mm-hmm. And if we could just, we like to make it so complicated. I want to put all this on top of it. Well, in order to know God, I got to believe this way, da 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 da, or I got to do this, da 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 da, or I got to act this way, da da da. No. Mm-hmm. Lord just says, come unto me.
Yeah.
Come to me.
No, I love that because it's, we build theologies for a reason, but sometimes they can impede that relational connection. It makes us feel like, man, I got to get all this other stuff right before I can know him. And that's actually reversed. We're talking about relationship. So it's us knowing God, but it's also being known by God. Relationships are mutual.
Yes. You know?
And so we're going to examine a scripture now that's all about how God knows us.
Wonderful.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book were written all the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Such a great psalm. It's one of the hits.
It is.
Psalm 139.
It's a great psalm.
When we're talking about the idea of knowing God and being known by God, what stands out to you from that psalm?
He says, you know, God, you know everything about me. You've searched me, you know. And then there is that humanness of the psalmist. Where can I go from verse 7? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And there is that desire from us. Maybe we want to escape from God's presence, either because we think, well, I'm in my sinful way and I want to stay in my sinful way and therefore I can't be with a holy God. Mm. The other aspect of that is, God, you are, like he says here in the psalm, you are too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. Mm. Your presence is just overwhelming. Your glory is just unimaginable. And
there's an intensity.
It's an intensity, and it's just all-consuming, and so where can I go?
On one hand, there's this like inspirational truth that there's nowhere we can be that God is not with us. But it feels, maybe it feels far off, or it feels like, you know, something you put on a poster, like the kitten hang in there.
There you
know,
you
it feels
That's
like
right.
a little fluffy, but also it's just this experienced reality. I'm reading, in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the deepest part of the sea, the sea is like representative of chaos, right?
Yeah.
And so no matter how chaotic my life is, even if you're the furthest thing from my mind, God, even if I'm overwhelmed by circumstances, but even there, your right hand will lead me.
Yeah.
Even there, God is right there in the midst of it. And I think we've experienced that, you know, when we are seemingly far off from God, either through sin perhaps, or just through the chaos of life, but God is right there, you know, in the midst of our grief and pain, in the midst of our poor choices. There's no place that God isn't right there if we just acknowledge him.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember preacher Ron Hutchcraft saying, in relation to knowing God, how do you think God thoughts? He says, well, if you have a God thought, you're thinking about God. That's a God thought. Maybe I've strayed so far away, but well, I woke up this morning and I realized and recognized, hey, God is still there reaching out to me.
Yeah.
I have a God moment. God is still pursuing.
Yeah.
He's still pursuing. So I need to respond to that in that moment.
Yeah.
You know,
the psalm begins, you have searched me and known me. So he has this idea that God has known what's going on inside of him, right?
Yes.
He knows his plans, knows his thoughts before he has them, knows his actions. He's acquainted with all his ways.
Mm.
And then the psalm concludes with, search me, O God, and know me.
Yes.
Know my anxieties. See if there's any wickedness in me.
Yeah.
Lead me in the way everlasting. So
yeah.
Whether or not he's been running from that leadership throughout this psalm, or just sort of tacitly acknowledging, well, God knows everything, he still, by the end, he's submitting to that, he's yielding to that and saying, know me.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a relationship with someone and you want it to become deeper, you have to be vulnerable. You have to share yourself. You have to say, know me. If you don't do that, you can't go any deeper.
You want to continue it too.
Yeah. That depth, you want to grow even deeper into intimacy and fellowship with a close friend or a spouse or something like that. You have to put yourself out there. You have to say, know me.
Yeah.
And I like that by the end of this psalm, even though it begins with the psalmist saying, look, you've searched me, you know me. By the end, he's saying, search me and know me.
Yeah.
Like, I want more of you. And so I am laying myself before you.
Yes, I want more of your presence.
Mm.
I want more of this relationship. I want to continue. I want to grow together. I want to know you more.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try something different now. This is episode 4, so I guess it's not necessarily different. Every episode we're trying something, right?
Yep.
But you and I are both songwriters, and I recently wrote a song kind of based on Psalm 139. So we're going to listen to the song now, and then we can maybe get another perspective on what it's like to know God, be known by God,
yes,
through this response to Psalm 139.
I'm looking forward to it.
Lord, you see me when I rise. Your spirit goes before me, and nobody knows me like you know. In the heights among the depths, no hiding from your presence, 'cause you knit me together long ago. Oh, you're faithful to me. Oh, you are so good. Through it all, your love is steadfast every day. I'll remember. All that's come before, and all that's coming after, through tears and through the laughter, you're the same. You have never let me down, you're always only gracious, even when I'm faithless, you don't change. Oh, you're faithful to me, oh, you are so good. Your love is steadfast every day. I'll remember. I'll build my life on your promises. Your presence is my inheritance. not forget. I'll remember. Search my heart and all my thoughts, everything inside me. I don't need to hide these things from you. As you lead me in your way to life that's everlasting, I won't let my past lead me astray. I sing of your glory every day. Oh, you're faithful to me. Oh, you are so good. Through it all, your love is steadfast every day. I'll
Wow, we just listened to the new song by Pastor Christian. I just want to say I love it. It brings me to tears. What I like about it, I mean, the chorus really just brings the whole story of the song together. That's what a chorus is supposed to do. Mm. Oh, you're faithful to me. Oh, you're so good. Through it all, your love is steadfast. Every day I'll remember. And you can see that in Psalm 139 and then how you've weaved that in through the verses. Verse 1, you've knit me together long ago. It's like, well, man, everywhere I go, God, you know everything about me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm. God, you've never let me down. Mm. And that's just beautiful truth there. He is. He is a God who has never let us down. He never fails. And even when I'm faithless, you don't change. He yeah. doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And before I let you jump in, I really like the banjo, so that's really cool, and so very good, very good.
I can play a little banjo. I'm not great at a banjo, but if I'm sitting down to record, I can do a part, you know,
figure a part out.
I have this banjo that a friend gave me that she bought in China, so it's not even a very good quality, and I think it still has the original strings. It's like so old, so I have to tune it before every recording.
It's really cool. I hear a little bit of Ren Collective in it, with that banjo vibe, and then the brass synth kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually River playing. I had her learn the part. She learned the part, and she recorded and played it. It's like two different parts for over the bridge and what's over the chorus and the instrumental. But it's really fun. I like to hear it. I'm like, oh, River played that. That's really cool. And
that is so cool.
It's an interesting way to build the song. It's hard to do brass, I feel like, unless you have like real brass.
Yes.
I didn't have like a whole brass section.
Whenever I try to do a song arrangement and I throw brass in and I play it for my sons, they first let me know, Dad, that's not real brass.
Yeah.
That's fake. It's synth. I can tell.
Get rid of the brass.
Well, I thought it was a good sample. Well, not good enough. You mm-hmm. know. But this, wonderful. I can see the church singing this. I can see believers encouraged by this. Mm. Just a wonderful message. And a wonderful truth. And, you know, we do not want to forget what God has done. That's why we celebrate Easter, you know, and not just the bunny and the candy and, and the marshmallows and all that. But we celebrate because the tomb is empty.
Yep.
We celebrate because of the resurrection power of Christ.
Amen. It's better than a Reese egg. You know, Ted, you and I attend a conference mostly every year called Experience Conference, and it's always a really good time to be around other worship leaders and songwriters, and I usually leave that time very inspired. This past year, I attended by myself just because of hurricane threats, but I found just a lot of space that I was responding creatively. So, like, I wrote the outline of this song while I was at Experience Conference, just over something that I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, or a way that I was wanting to respond to God by saying, like, I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember by praising you, right? I'll sing of your glory every day.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to, through worship, I'm going to remember what you've done for me. And that I felt like lined up really well with the idea of being known by God, which is in Psalm 139.
There's something significant about taking the scripture and rephrasing it, rewording it to make it your own so that we're making it personal, we're making it our own, and we're declaring as a testimony to God, hey, this is a song of my heart, and I'm lifting it up to you and to bring honor and praise to you. I think it's well done.
That's one of my favorite ways to respond to scripture or to connect with God. We're talking about knowing God, being in relationship with him. You've heard the scripture a lot, but one of the ways to engage with scripture is to rewrite it. Yes. And not rewrite it like I'm taking truths out and replacing stuff, nothing like that. But I am having a creative interaction with the Word of God.
Right.
So if you're not a songwriter, you don't have to turn it into a song. But if you can make it personal, you know,
sure
you can rewrite it with a new metaphor.
Yes.
And what happens as you do that is it comes alive to you. You know, it stops being this thing that you heard sitting in a pew long ago and starts being this thing that's speaking to you right now.
Yes.
So I really recommend if people are looking for new ways to engage with scripture, rewrite a psalm, you know, put it in your own words. I think that's a great way to just continue to fall more in love with the word, but also deeper into the knowledge of who God is.
And that makes the word come alive. And the word is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we're grateful that the Holy Spirit gives us that insight to make that personal. So because the Father is rubbing off his Son's characteristic on our life, so we are knowing him, and then we can make him known.
Amen.
Like I said, better than a chocolate bunny, man.
Thanks for listening to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC media team. If you want to connect with us further, reach out on Facebook or on our website, zaccma.org.